The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another spring training edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. The topic of the day today, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will most likely not receive a long-term extension with the Toronto Blue Jays. He said in an interview following the deadline that he imposed that he basically fully expects to go to free agency and test the market. So big development there. And before I kick it to Jason here, I just want to say this could be their Mookie Betts situation here. They haven't traded him, but they've sort of passed on locking him up. And I just, if they don't extend him, who would they ever extend? So what were your thoughts, Jason?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised, because if they were going to let it get to this point anyway, then they weren't going to get the deal done. And I'm sure that they came way under in the money. I know that he's, you know, the reports are that they're about $100 million apart. That doesn't surprise me either. I think the Blue Jays have mismanaged this whole thing. Going back, you know, years to when that core first came up, the core of him, Bichette, Biggio's kid. I know Kevin Biggio isn't that great. He's now, I think he's still with the Dodgers, but he's like a utility guy, he's a bench player. So, but Bichette, like, he's gone backwards. They've kind of mismanaged him too. They made that weird trade for Dalton Varsho, which improved their defense, but it didn't help them offensively. Their pitching staff is starting to get older. Gausman's getting up there. Barrios isn't that old, but he's, you know, kind of leveled off now. It feels like their window is kind of closed. And it feels like now they're going to start just shedding payroll. I know they had a bit of a splurge this free agency this past offseason, but they're probably figuring this is our last shot to make a run with Vlad here, because we're not going to be able to keep him. So we might as well try to make a playoff run. Maybe that convinces him to stay. You know, maybe next winter, you know, we can get him. But I'm not surprised that they blew this. I just feel like they've mismanaged their roster too much. They haven't won enough while he's been there. And he just continues to get better and better offensively every single year, to the point where his free agency number is going up. And, you know, with what Juan Soto made this past offseason, Vlad Guerrero now is the next big free agent to hit the market. And he's basically Juan Soto from the right side. He's just, you know, can't play the field as well as Soto does, but even Soto is kind of an average defender out there in the outfield. So Guerrero's number just went up because of the Juan Soto sweepstakes. And I think Toronto knew that. They had a number in mind that they were going to stick with, and it's always going to come short. So, you know, it's tough for them. It's good for the Red Sox, because that's a division contender that's probably going to start going backwards now. But I wasn't surprised. I felt like when they let it get to this point, where you got all the way up to his self-imposed deadline and you didn't get a deal done, you know, what did you expect? So not surprising. And I think now you're looking at probably around, you know, the number probably starts at 5 for Guerrero in free agency, and we'll see how high it ends up going.
Jeremy.
So I thought they were truly in on Ohtani and disappointed when they didn't get him. And then they were rumored to be in on Soto. So to me, I thought this would have been done because they were looking, acting, feeling like an organization that was willing to spend the money. And you're only driving the number up by allowing competition in. So I thought all offseason this would be done by now. Now, you know, I love the player. They obviously know him better than anybody else. You know, my only confusion is the self-imposed deadline by Vlad Jr. It makes no sense. You know, in my, we use the term illusory, something that's put in place, but it doesn't mean anything. It's not contractual. It's not through the union. And we have a very recent example of this, guys. Alex Cora had a self-imposed deadline last year. It expired. They signed him in the middle of the summer. And that's what I think is going to happen here.
Well, I was under the impression that they would get it done because he's making $28 million a year this year. So he's not worried about getting paid this year. He already is. So the fact that he gave them a deadline to me said, well, he wants to play here. He's very open to playing here for the rest of his career. And I just thought there would be enough mutual interest that a deal would get done. And with the Red Sox, I mean, Garrett Crochet's a shrewd politician. We're kind of getting to see that in the last handful of days with the innuendo around his extension possibilities. But he's the type of guy, he's making $3.5 million. If he signs an extension, he could be making 15 to 20 this year. So an extension now does kind of mean something, I think, to a Garrett Crochet type guy. It doesn't mean anything to Vladimir. He's already getting the bag with his ARB3 salary. So, you know, I'm a little surprised.
I disagree with that.
Why is that?
He's made a lot of money. There's no doubt about it. But when you sign the type of contract he's going to sign, it's not even his life changing. It's generations behind him. It's a totally different atmosphere of money.
Well, he's going to get it. Again, he's going to get it either way next year.
Not if he gets hurt. Not if his production's regresses, you know, and I'm not saying it's going to. I don't think it's going to. But what if he has a really bad injury? What if he I can't remember the Braves outfielder who blew out his knee. I mean, what if that happens in a contract year? You know, I could come up with some examples, probably pull them from different sports, which I know we don't like doing, but that there's risk on Vlad Jr.'s side, Terry. I think there's a tremendous amount of risk. And I think there's a tremendous amount of risk with Crochet, more risk because he hasn't made any money yet. And so I think you can squeeze it. I think you're right where you can squeeze a player like Crochet harder to get a deal done. But what if he doesn't have a good year? What if the pressure of having a contract year doesn't play with this type of player and he only hits 22 home runs and 76 RBIs? I mean, he's going to cost himself hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, it's tricky. I think it's personally in his best interest myself to do it, but for a different reason. The previous highest contract for a first baseman is $240 million to Albert Pujols. He's the highest paid first baseman in history. That was in 2012, either coming into that season or just after it. Then the next highest is Mark Teixeira at $175 million for, I think, 8 or 9 years in 2009. And then the third highest one is fairly recent. That's Freddie Freeman at 6 years, $157 million. So Vladimir was offered $350 million. That's $110 million over the current record contract, which blows it out of the water. I mean, that's blowing it out of the water if it's by $110 million. Now, first basemen aren't valued, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, Vlad's different. Perhaps he is, but I don't know. I mean, I never in a million years thought Pete Alonso would be signing a 2-year, $54 million contract this winter. And if you go back 2 years, I'm like, oh, he's easily a $200 million, contract guy, you know, whether it's over 8 years or 9 years or whatever. And so it's not a sure thing if you're a first baseman. So that's why I would probably get that done. But we'll see. I don't, he's elite. His metrics are elite. And if he and Juan Soto were free agents at the same time, I would choose Vladimir Jr. 100 times out of 100, especially at Fenway Park. He just crushes there. And Bob Nightingale, after the news broke that they weren't going to come to an agreement, put out a tweet that was essentially a quote from Vladimir Jr. He would love to play for the Boston Red Sox. So I don't know if that's a bat signal type thing, but all that needs to happen, I think, there just needs to be a report that Craig Breslow contacted the Toronto Blue Jays to ask about Vladimir. And I think it gets done. If, you know, with the Juan Soto deal, you know, I think at first most of this crew believed Henry was sincere with a $700 million thing. And then things got quiet for a long time until the Bregman thing. And then I started not buying it. I'm like, no, he was not sincere. He didn't want that money on the books. Post Bregman, I kind of feel like, okay, maybe it was true. Maybe he did want Vladimir. So if he covets, let's just take it at face value and say that he did. If he covets Vladimir like he did Soto, I could see a $400 to $500 million deal happen. And he's only 26, 27 years old. If it's a 10-year deal, you've got him till age 36 or 37. And I think he can be somewhat relevant for the entirety of a 10-year deal. If you sign him to age 40, I don't know. I don't know if he will be or not, but you'd win a couple of championships, you know, and while he's in his prime. So I'd love to see it happen.
Oh, believe me, if I'm the Red Sox, I'm calling Toronto today and just saying, all right, you know, let's see what we can, you know, maybe get done here. Because you've got the prospect capital, you know, that's the one benefit of the last regime you went through, is you have a ton of prospect capital to deal away from. Because even with Kyle Teal gone, there's still a logjam of left-handed hitters in your prospect system. So, you know, you have a lot to deal from there. If it's so much easier to give a guy an extension when he's already in your building and he's already playing at Fenway Park and mashing over the Green Monster for half his games, so that would help too. I just, man, it's hard to believe that John Henry really wants to hand out a check for $500 million, even to a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I would love it if it were true. It's just so hard to believe with this ownership group. I mean, the fan base had to bully them into signing Devers, who was their own guy. He was their own homegrown guy who turned into a superstar. And it took Henry until the last minute, and again, the fans literally booing him outside of the Garden, for him to finally cave in and give Devers a big contract. So I find it hard to believe that just a couple of years later, he's going to turn around and also do it to Vladimir Guerrero, who has not been in the building, who has been playing in Toronto his whole career. You know, yes, he'll be 26 years old. Yes, he's a, you know, generational right-handed hitter. He has monster numbers at Fenway Park. But, you know, as Jeremy said, what if he gets hurt? Or what if, you know, his numbers start to go down? What if, you know, he's a bigger guy? What if it's another Sandoval situation where, you know, he signs the big deal and then he shows up out of shape? And that affects his performance. And all of a sudden, John Henry's sitting there going, I just gave $500 million to a guy who showed up out of shape and now I'm stuck with it. So it's just, I want them to do it. I'll be pants off if they do it. I just have a hard time believing that Henry's going to turn around and give up that much money again to another player after already doing it with Devers. It just, I don't know. I just don't trust him to be able to do it.
So I have a little bit of a different twist on this. I have been all off season, actually since the trade deadline, I think the biggest pro go get Vlad guy on the pod. Here's where my concern is. I don't think it's going to happen if Devers is still on the roster. And there's two reasons. Number one, 300 plus 500 is 800, and Henry is not going to do that. And especially in the second half of the overlap of those two contracts, they're likely both going to be DHs. So you're effectively creating an issue on the roster in perpetuity for somewhere between probably 4 or 5 years as they both age into their mid-30s. So I just don't think it's going to happen if Devers is still on the team. I just don't. And I know that's a little bit of a turn on what I've been saying since the end of July, but I just – it doesn't make sense, which is a shame because I've wanted him. I think part of the reason why he wants to come here is the Ortiz success, both on the field, off the field, post-career. You know, what the organization's meant to Ortiz, what he's meant to us, the fact that he's always around. He's already at spring training. Like, you're setting yourself up if you want to do Nesson or whatever else in perpetuity. And so it's a fit in so many levels. And I don't think it happened until this week when Devers went the petulant child route. And I realized that there's some other things brewing in the background that I think are going to make it difficult.
Well, I think, you know, the problems are fairly immediate because one of them does have to DH at this point. But maybe Devers is like, oh, you're going to bring Vladimir in? Maybe I am open to DHing now. I would hope that would be the case. But I think there is a scenario where one of them can DH and the other can play first base. And I don't think Vlad's going to be a bad 34, 35-year-old first baseman. I think he'll be okay. I mean, Miguel Cabrera was doing it, and Albert Pujols was doing it, you know, until age 40. And those aren't slender, sleek athletes, you know. So I'm not too worried about it, but the money part, you know, it's a fair question. Are they worth a little bit short of $1 billion? I don't know. I mean, it's when Bregman comes off, it's a little bit more sustainable, at least for the yearly AAV of the whole roster and the luxury tax. But I would do it because that's as close as you get to Manny and Poppy, as I've said, and as I'll continue to say until there's 0% chance Vladimir comes back. Here's a question. So we could send Casas, and I think that fixes first base for them immediately. Abreu doesn't really have a spot. They emphatically said they're not willing to put Abreu in the cease deal, so I don't know. I really, that gives me a little bit of pause. Maybe they do think Abreu is part of the long term, but I look at him as surplus. And I don't think you can put Meyer in the deal because I don't know if three lefties is going to be appealing to them because they're going to end up in the same problem that we've had for the last couple of years. So I think two of those three, if those can be the centerpiece of the package and nothing painful beyond that as you're filling out the third and fourth pieces, I would do it in a heartbeat. And I think you guys would too. But here's the question. Would you put Anthony or Campbell in the deal if that's what it would take? Jason, go ahead. Jeremy can lead off. Go ahead.
Who are the two players, Terry? Sorry.
Anthony or Campbell are two biggest studs.
So my answer is if we had an extension in place at the time of the trade, yes. If he's a one-year rental to go all in 2025, which is a question I was going to pose to you guys, then no. And my question was, if he's not agreeable to an extension, would you still go get him because you're kind of loading up here and go try to win a World Series this year?
I wouldn't get him at all. If there's no extension in place, I don't want him.
Yeah, I agree. If there's no extension in place, I'm not doing it. And if there is an extension in place, I would do it. But I would prefer it be Campbell involved and not Anthony, because then it's a right-handed bat for a right-handed bat. right? So, and I think Anthony is still the better prospect. So, yes, I would do it. I would prefer it be Campbell if there is an extension in place. If he's not going to do an extension or you feel like you can't get one done, no, I'm not doing it. Because I don't think that just getting him makes you a World Series favorite. You know, you're close, but I still think you'd come up short against the Dodgers anyway. So, and look, the Dodgers are going to be a problem for a long time. So you can't just not make moves because of them. But for a rental, no, I wouldn't do it. I would only do it if he's going to sign an extension.
I wouldn't put either one of them in the deal. I mean, I've said all winter, they're untouchable to me. I would put Meyer in it, and he's the number, four prospect in all Major League Baseball, something like that. I would put Casas in it, and I would give them any pitching prospect they want. And that's what I would give them for Vladimir Jr. And you're doing them a big favor, by the way. You're clearing $28 million off their books for this season, and that has to be appealing to Toronto. But I think both of them, I know they haven't done it yet, and it's the classic, you know, you can point to all these elite prospects that flamed out and didn't, you know, live up to it. But I think one or both of them will have a Vladimir impact on the roster. And I actually covet Campbell the most because we're just so lefty heavy. And so I don't know. I feel like he could be better than Anthony. I really do. The attractive thing about Anthony is he has reverse splits. He actually hits lefties better, at least through the minors he has. So we'll see, but I just want to hear a rumor that there's been a conversation, and I think we can beat the Dodgers. I really do. I mean, all those pitchers got injured last year. They might have a problem with their pitching program to where it gets guys hurt. We'll see what happens this year, but Teoscar's getting older. Mookie's getting older. Freeman's getting older. Ohtani gets hurt. I mean, he hurt his shoulder in the playoffs and couldn't hit for power anymore. So I know they look like the dream team, but I don't know.
And I don't think you should ever build a team to beat the other conference's best team. Right? Like, I think you should strive to be the best team in the American League. And baseball's baseball, man. It's not the NBA. There's no, like, the team with the best players wins most of the time in those series. Wonky things happen. Just get there. You know, just don't. You're not trying to beat the Dodgers. You're trying to beat the Yankees. You're trying to beat the Astros. Go get there and then worry about it in a seven game series. I don't think like that.
Yeah, and that's why I pointed out, like, the Dodgers aren't going anywhere. So you're right. Like, you shouldn't, you know, preclude yourself from making a splash on the roster or trying to get a guy like Vladimir Guerrero, because, well, the Dodgers are going to be great for the next 5 years, so what does it matter anyway? Because you're right. Like, wacky things happen. For all we know, like, Ohtani's supposed to pitch this year. He might blow out his arm in game one, and then, you know, it'll set him back even further. Sasaki, you know, yeah, looks like a stud. What if he's not? What if he struggles to adapt to Major League Baseball? Like, they still have a ton of questions on their roster, and it is a roster that's getting older. So, yeah, I wouldn't not make moves just because of the Dodgers. I would still do it. But again, it's got to be smart. It's got to be like, okay, we're getting Vlad Guerrero and we're making a splash, but we're also going to sign him to an extension so that not only are we going to be good this year, but for the next few years going forward, when Anthony and all these guys come up, we're going to have a really loaded roster.
I know this isn't a Dodgers podcast, but I've had this thing in my brain since they went hog wild in free agency this year. And we've talked about it with the Red Sox so much. I believe so much in a balanced roster. You have your superstars, you have your glue guys, you have your veterans, you have your mixer of young people, you have speed. Like, you build, you have a staggered lineup, staggered bullpen, staggered starting, you know, right, left in the rotation. Is anybody going to talk about, like, the Dodgers are so top heavy? Like, are there not going to be cultural differences, personality differences, ego differences? Everybody's making a bleep ton of money. Like, it's not necessarily, it's just it's an all-star team. It's not even it's not like they're looking for that balance. They're just, let's just get all the best players. That might blow up in their face. You know, I'm not convinced that that's going to be a recipe for success.
I mean, guys can get too comfortable and, you know, before you know it, they just, they're not the hungry team of destiny anymore. So, and the 2020 thing is gone. I mean, we made fun of them for a while for that, and they've won one since. So it's not really a shadow that's cast over them anymore. But my final thought on this is, if you get Vladimir, you're not the 2013 team. And I think in the past few years, we're like, just get a 2013-like team in there and be competitive. If you get Vladimir Jr., this is like, I would say like 07 all over again. This is going to be the team that would resemble, you know, another championship team. And I would say it's 07 because you've got your Manny and Poppy who you had that year. You've got your kids coming up, Anthony and Campbell. That's your Ellsbury and your Pedroia. And you've got, you can't really call Crochet a veteran, but you've got your ace, you got your Beckett type guy. You got your longstanding veteran in Bueller, who's been in the league for at least 7 or 8 years at this point, or even longer. This is what that team would resemble. And man, instantly, like you're back, you're elite. And with Vladimir Jr. on this roster, I said last week, some people thought I was nuts when I said we could win the division with what we already have. You're going to the World Series, barring injuries, if you've got Vladimir.
So yeah, the only thing you don't have
know,
is
I
your.
I don't know that's that guaranteed, but I do like our chances.
We're going.
Just don't have a Papelbon, but that's okay. Closer by committee, that's fine.
Well, that could be Slayton, the homegrown. Well, he was not homegrown, I guess, because he was a Rule 5 guy. But
Rule 5.
Yeah, but you've got your Papelbon-aged closer there that could go in, possibly. But and Papelbon, they tried starting him, by the way. He didn't come up. He had no hype as a potential closer immediately, anyway, so... All right, well, we'll wrap on that. If anything develops, you know, to the level of an emergency pod, we'll be back to cover it. If not, we'll be back on Sunday to recap the weekend. We'll have had 3 games played by then, so perhaps there'll be some noteworthy stuff to go over. So everyone have a good rest of your week. Take care.